On October the 18th, 1984, there was a little girl born into the Kildon family. It was an athletic family. Their father was a professional skier, so it was not unusual that at a very early age, the little girl named Lindsay began to take up skiing. She actually had her first skis at the age of 3. She entered her first race at the age of 7. At the age of 16, she entered her first World Cup race. And last Wednesday evening, Lindsay, who is now called Vaughn, being married, Lindsay Vaughn won the women's downhill. Now, that was her lifelong dream. In fact, she was the very first American woman to ever win the women's downhill race. I haven't really watched much of the Olympics, but I happened to be watching at that moment when they were showing her race. And if you'll remember, if you saw that scene at the end, she just bowed down in the snow and began to weep. And they were trying to interview her, and she was obviously overcome with great emotion. And she wrote down in some of the phrases that she said was, "This is all I've ever wanted in my life. I've got it. I've got it. I finally got it. I am so happy. I've achieved my lifetime goal." She won a gold medal. Now, Lindsay won that gold medal for a combination of many things. But one of the things was that she had a passion for skiing and a passion to be the greatest skier of women's downhill. Nothing great ever happens without passion. Early in her life, she said, "I recognized talent alone will never enable me to succeed." There has to be a deeper inner sense of passion. Passion is behind great things that happen. Now, when I use the word passion today, I think it's obvious, but I need to back up and say we're not talking about sensuality here. We're talking about that deep inner sense of who we are and the drive in our system of passion. Driving force behind music, it's a driving force behind athletics. Passion propels athletes to win gold medals. Passion propels scientists to work long into the night for years and years to discover a cure for a disease that afflicts mankind. Passion propels entrepreneurs to go through all kinds of issues and problems and obstacles and to overcome in producing a company that succeeds. Now, just as this is true in the secular world or in the earthly world, it is also true in the spiritual world. I certainly have no understanding as to Lindsay Vaughn's spiritual connection. I'm using that only as an earthly passion. But we also recognize that the same principle is true in our spiritual life. While winning a gold medal is a tremendous achievement, obviously, for an individual, what you and I are after is not to win the gold medal, but to win the real medal. And the real medal is this, that when we stand before God, He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Enter into the kingdom that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Now I will make you master over many." And when we look at God's attributes, we discover that God is a passionate God. We talk about His love. We say, "I've never seen a love like that before. It's an amazing love." When we talk about God's forgiveness, we say, "I've never seen forgiveness like that before. It is absolutely amazing of the forgiveness that He offers for us." We talk about His faithfulness. We say, "His faithfulness is from everlasting, to 1,000 generations." When we talk about Jesus, we know He was an individual who lived a passionate life. He celebrated with His friends as a wedding celebration. He grieved when those individuals that He loved died. We know that He got angry when He went into the temple and He found that they were cheating the people in the very temple, which was to be a house where He was to be worshipped. He was a passionate God. He feels great joy when people come into the kingdom. He feels grieved when we turn our backs upon Him. And most of all, His greatest passion was for you to come into a personal relationship with Him. In fact, it was a passion that ran so deep that He was literally willing to go to the cross and to die for you. Some years ago, Mel Gibson had a movie out called The Passion of the Christ. And we thought about that word, we thought, well, what does that mean, the passion of the Christ? But when you look at the word passion, it begins to make understanding. It helps us to understand what he's talking about. The word for passion literally means to endure pain or to suffer. When someone is passionate about something, it means that we have such a strong desire and such a strong urge that we will not be deterred by anything in our pathway. But even if we have to suffer and even if we have to go through pain, we will endure it because we have this passion about some issue. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. How many have your Bibles this morning? Let me see them. I see. Okay. All right, I'll give you a B+ today. That's pretty good. In Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. Begin reading at 17. One day as he was teaching, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And some men came, carrying a paralytic on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Interesting about this passage is that the men are not named. Some men. See, the idea of them taking their friend to Jesus was not so that they could get recognized in the book. It was not so that they could have their names on a plaque. They were just unnamed men who had a passion to see their friend touched and healed by Jesus. And so they did whatever was necessary in order to bring that friend to Jesus. So when we begin to talk about living a passionate life, the first thing we've got to say is, what's your passion? You have to find your passion. What do you get excited about? What is it in your life that just gets your adrenaline pumping like water through your veins? What is it that holds you on the edge of your seat? What is it that you can't wait to get involved in? What is it about your life that is passionate? Well, some of you are going to say, "I'm not really passionate about anything. You know, that's not my personality. I'm just kind of a low-key guy. I just kind of go with the flow. I'm not here and there." I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about passion. I'm not talking about emotions. Emotions go up and down. I'm talking about passion. Passion endures. Emotions are all over the place. And therefore, if you are a believer, I got good news for you. If you are a believer, according to Romans chapter 8, it says, "If you have not the Holy Spirit, he is none of yours." So that means that when you are a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within you. That is the Spirit of Jesus. Do you know what the Spirit of Jesus is? That's pretty exciting stuff. Do you realize that the Spirit of Jesus lives within you? Can you get enthusiastic about that? It is interesting that many times in our secular society, people who are even non-believers bring up scriptural and principles which we have faith in. They don't even know about it. Have you ever heard of the word enthusiastic? And you say someone is enthusiastic about something? Where does that word come from? It comes from two Greek words, E-N-N, which means within, and theos, which is God. So someone who is enthusiastic is someone who recognizing that God lives within them. And so if God lives within us, we have the ability to be passionate about life and about the things that are going on around about us. Because passion will cause you to do drastic things. These four men said, our friend is paralyzed. He cannot walk. We don't know how long he'd been paralyzed. We know certainly that he could not help himself. We know that he was depending upon the aid of other individuals. And these friends brought him to Jesus. And when they brought him there, what happened was, it was a large crowd and they couldn't get in. If Jesus were preaching today, we'd have a bigger parking problem than we have right now. And they couldn't get in. And they said, well, let's just go back home. Forget it. You know, we tried. No. They had a passion. And it said when they couldn't get in, they went up on the roof. And in the first century, the roofs would have been made out of overlaid tiles or thatch. And as they did so, they began to tear the guy's roof apart. Now, I don't guess that the owner of the house was real happy about this approach into his home. But you know what? These four guys says, we don't care. We don't care if we got to repair the whole roof. We don't care if we got to buy you a new house. We don't care how much problems it happens to this. We are passionate. We are going to get our friend to Jesus because that's where he can find help. Passion, real passion, drives you to drastic action. Do you realize the story of Jesus when he was in the home and the lady came in and she took the vial of perfume and it says that she opened the vial of perfume and that is called nard or perfume. She poured it out upon him and it says the aroma filled the place. When we look at the background of that, we know that it was an expensive pint or problem of perfume that probably was a 6 months wage. But she said, I don't care. I am passionate about Jesus. Some of you have bought someone an extravagant gift that you couldn't afford because you were so passionate about them, haven't you? Passion causes you to take drastic actions. Passion causes you to sit up all night with your loved one who is sick or ill or dying and hold their hand and put your hand across their brow and bring them a cup of water and say, I am not going to leave you. That's passion. Passion causes you to do drastic things. It may cause you to devote your life to a cause that other people don't care about. What's your passion? What's your passion? Because there is a big difference between an earthly passion and a godly passion. Earthly passions are all about us and the things that we enjoy. Again, this is no disrespect to Lindsey Vonn. I don't know whether she's a Christian or not. But that's an earthly passion. Earthly passions are about me, about what I can do, about what I'm going to get. Earthly passions are about sports. They're about hobbies or golf. Some of you are passionate about golf or traveling or whatever. I saw an interview the other day with Donald Trump. You remember that guy? You remember him, right? Donald Trump, he's trying to get the contract to build the towers where the 9/11 tore down the World Towers. And he says, I don't know why you wouldn't choose me. He says, I'm the greatest builder that ever been. He says, I'm passionate about building. He says, nobody's better than me. I'm the greatest builder there is. Why wouldn't you choose me? That's an earthly passion. You know Tiger Woods' situation. His passion was golf. Now, again, I don't know these men individually, but there are times when our earthly passions are so strong that we neglect the moral fiber of who we are. Donald Trump's been divorced a few times. He's done some unscrupulous things. Again, I'm not his judge. That's up to him. But there are times when our passion for an earthly thing, whether it's a sport or whether it's a program or whether it's a hobby of your kind or whatever, your passion for that exceeds, and rather than adding to your life, it becomes a detriment because it becomes your God. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what is your passion? Because I hope that I can challenge you to center your passion around the person of Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. That's my heart's desire for you. It's not that you don't have fun and enjoy other things, certainly. But that's the centerpiece of our life. That which drives us, that which enables us to go through some rough waters like we're going through right now, and yet stay steady and true, it's got to be your passion for Jesus Christ. It's got to be your relationship with Him. And you've got to say, I'm willing to suffer and endure pain and whatever it is because I believe in God. I believe what He says is true. I believe His Word is true. I believe His Son is real. I'm in a relationship with Him, and nothing is going to deter me from having that relationship with Him. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about living passionately. Living for Jesus Christ. We don't need more professing Christians. We need passionate Christians. We don't need more Christians that just come in and put in their time and go home. We need passionate Christians. We need Christians that are willing to stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I am willing to put my life there. That's passionate. That's what we're talking about. Find your passion in Jesus Christ. You can find it in other things. I don't care. But make sure they're always in subjection to the real passion of your life, which is your relationship with Jesus. The second thing, follow your passion. So when they couldn't find a way in, they went up to the top, took the roof off, and dropped Him down right in front of Jesus. You see, when you follow your passion, you always, not sometimes, you always have to overcome obstacles in your pathway. When Lindsay was 10 years old, her parents were divorced. And one of the articles that I read about her in preparing for this message, it said that, I was devastated. Here were the two people that I loved at odds with one another. Should I like my dad and not like my mom? Should I like my mom and not like my dad? And a 10-year-old, you know, that's pretty emotional draining for them. And they said, what are we going to do here? And then to make it worse, her father moved from Minnesota to Colorado. And so she had to decide where was she going to live and all of those terrible issues that children of that age have to go through. But this is what she said. In order to get over the pain of the divorce of my parents, I threw myself into the passion of skiing. And I just totally forgot about it, and I just concentrated on skiing. Just on February the 2nd, just 2 weeks before her gold medal run, she was injured in a practice run, and it severely bruised her shin. Now, for most of us, that's just an inconvenience, and we go on with life. But when you're hurtling down a hill at 65 miles an hour, and you've got to make hairpin turns and turn left and right and go over jumps and all of that kind of things, it can be very difficult for you. But she said, I would not be deterred. I don't care. I am going to win that gold medal. She had a passion to do what she did. Passion that is not sustained over a period of time is simply emotion. These people didn't quit when the crowds were large. Lindsay didn't quit when the times got tough. When we are in the Christian faith, there's going to be some tough times. Some of us are going through some tough times right now. There's some tough issues we've got to face. Life isn't always a smooth flat board. Sometimes there's some barriers there. It takes faith to follow your passion. There's always a risk when you say, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. Well, what if I fail? What if I do something wrong? Okay, you pick yourself up, you ask for forgiveness, and you get back on the slalom. But what if some people don't like me? Well, I guarantee you some people aren't going to like you. That's not an issue. When you follow your passion for Christ, there's always going to be some people that are going to make fun of you. There's always going to be some people who reject you. That's the way it is. What if I have to change my lifestyle? Well, you might have to. I don't know your lifestyle. But if you're going to be passionate about Christ, we got to say, He's first in my life. I have to put away these lesser things so that I might receive the greater things. Godly passion, as opposed to earthly passion, will always make a difference in someone else's life. Now, an earthly passion can be all centered around yourself, but a godly passion always exists so that you can reach out and touch someone else. Godly passion leads to service. Earthly passion leads to self-glory. Earthly passion says, what can God do for me? Godly passion says, what can I do for God? How can I serve Him? How can I love Him? And in order to find that, you've got to feed your passion. When we find our passion in the person of Jesus Christ, of the personal relationship with Him, and we begin to follow Him, and He begins to chastise us and say, Tom, is that what you really want to do? Are you acting in the right way? No, I shouldn't do that. And He begins to shape us, and He begins to mold us. He begins to encourage us. He begins to inspire us. And now He says, I want you to feed your passion. In John chapter 6 and verse 57, Jesus says this, the one who feeds on me will live. The one who feeds on me. If we are going to keep these physical machines called bodies operating at peak efficiency, and I'm not exactly the best role model for this example, but if we are going to keep these physical bodies operating at peak efficiency, we've got to feed them the right ingredients. A consistent diet of junk food and alcohol and tobacco is going to take its toll. Our bodies are going to break down. If we're going to keep our passion for Christ alive, it has to be continually fed with the good things of God from His storehouse of great things. I want to give you three of them today. The first one is this, and that's integrity. You've got to feed your soul with integrity. Now again, it helps to know the background of these words. The word integrity means to integrate or to put together or to mesh together. And so when you're talking about integrity, I know most people think that it means honesty, and it does mean honesty, but that's not the total meaning of it. It means to integrate the values of your life with your lifestyle. That's what feeds your passion for Christ. When you take the value systems that you have, that you believe in, and you say, not only am I going to get up on Sunday morning and say, I believe this, I'm going to take this value system and I'm going to integrate it into my lifestyle. Because lack of integrity will drain you of your passion for Christ. When you say, you know, my family is a priority, but you put everything else in front of your family, and you never see them, and you're constantly away from them, there is an integrity gap there that takes away passion. When we say we love our wives, but we never spend time with them, we never communicate with them, we don't respect them, we don't lift them up, there's an integrity gap there. And when we say, you know, God's first in my life, but then we relegate Him with our actions to an afterthought, there is a lack of integrity gap. Our passion fades. Integrity, remember, is taking the values that we believe in and integrating them into our lifestyle so that they fit together. The second is commitment. Commitment fuels passion. I would say almost without doubt, I'd say almost 100%, if not 100% of the people in this room have good intentions. That's the reason you're here today. You want to be a better father. You want to be a better husband or a better wife or a better Christian or a better servant of the Lord. That's your intention. That's why you came today. Most people want to do the right thing. They have good intentions. But intentions and commitment are two different things. Commitment involves sacrifice, inconvenience, sometimes some hard choices. You know, Pastor, I've got a really bad habit, and you know, I really want to quit this habit. Well, okay, let's work on it. You need to get an accountability partner. No way am I getting an accountability partner now. Let's don't get overboard here. See, there's a big difference between intentions and commitment. You know, Pastor, I don't have any friends. I need to get some friends. Okay, we'll get you in a small group. I don't want to be in any small group. Well, what do you want to do? Have the friends come to your house and knock on your door? Or how are you going to work this? Intentions are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But they got to be combined with commitment. You know, Pastor, I really want to grow spiritually. I don't want to read the Bible. Are you kidding? I don't want to attend church. I don't want to pray. Why? You know all this behavior I have. But I know it's sinful, but I'm not giving that up. I really want to be a good Christian. Intentions, commitments. You're not passionate. You're surface level. And too many of us are snacking on God and expecting a healthy spiritual life, rather than stepping up to the buffet of God's resources and filling ourselves with His values and integrating them into our system. Snack food's good for a moment, and then it disappears. It takes healthy food to sustain you for a lifetime. Which brings me to my third fuel. All three of these fuel passion. So if you say to me, I don't have a passion for God, how's your integrity? Is your lifestyle reflecting your value system? How's your commitment? Are you following through on the things that you know you need to do? Third thing is perseverance. I'm sure there were many moments in her time when Lindsay said, man, I don't feel like skiing today. I am aching. Oh, man, it's early in the morning. It's cold out there. It's snowing. I don't want to do this. But we know that Lindsay Vonn did not become a champion because she quit. She did not become a champion by being lazy or taking shortcuts or skipping practice. She became a champion by perseverance. Passion sometimes involves suffering and enduring pain for the long haul. The Marines have a statement saying, God's looking for a few good men. I think what God would say is this. I'm looking for men and women who are willing to be passionate about me. He's looking for some mature Christians. I'm not talking about theology now. I'm talking about people who take their relationship with Jesus Christ seriously. People who are willing to integrate their lifestyle with their value system. People who are willing to sacrifice personal desires for the family of God. Who are willing to set aside sinful behaviors for the sake of the kingdom of God. Who are willing to serve instead of being served. God is looking for men and women who are passionate about their relationship with Christ. And you know what? Until that happens, your life is not going to change. Your family is not going to change. Your church is not going to change. Your community is not going to change. Superficial Christians who simply clock in and clock out do not change the world. Part-time Christians don't change anything. God is looking for individuals who say, I am passionate about my relationship with Christ. Individual. How are you going to know that, by the way? Well, Galatians 5 tells us the answer to that. Do you want to know if you're growing closer to Christ? Here's the litmus test. In Galatians chapter 5, he gives us what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And he says this, a passionate life will reflect the fruit of the Spirit. These attributes, these nine attributes of God will begin to become centered in your life. Will you be perfect in all of them? Absolutely not. Will you be growing in all of them? Hopefully so. But it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the litmus test. You have to grade yourself. I can't grade you. Am I maturing in my faith? Are you growing stronger in those attributes? Are you becoming more loving? Does your life reflect the joy of the Spirit of God who lives within you? Because enthusiasm is God within me. Do you have peace that passeth understanding? When you go through the rough waters, are you able to hold the hand of Jesus and walk, even though it's painful and it hurts, and it's hard to take the next step in front of you, but you continue to do it because you know that God will lead you through? Are you exhibiting patience and kindness, even when people speak evil against you, and goodness? Are you? Faithfulness? Gentleness, self-control? That's a passionate Christian. Lord, we love you today. And I always have to begin with myself and ask you to help me become more passionate toward you. Help me to lay aside the lesser things that I might concentrate on the vital, critical, and important things. Lord, help us as a congregation that we not fool around with Christianity, but that we center it in our lives. Help us, Father, as we go through this series where we understand that our life is short and no one knows for certain about tomorrow, that we're to seize the day, make every moment count, live in the now, allow God to enable us to live each day as if it were our last. Allow us to live each day in the shining glow of your love for us. Give us, Father, the mind of Christ. Help us to integrate our value systems into our lifestyle. Help us, Father, to be more forgiving in our relationships, to be more understanding in our disagreements, to be more loving in our relationships with all people. Lord, I just love you so much today. And I know it's only because of you that I stand in this pulpit. It's only because of you that I have been so blessed. And Father, in the midst of many difficult circumstances right now, we just ask for the grace, mercy of God to lead us, encourage us, inspire us, and comfort us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you stand with me, please?